Now stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call talks to the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us again this Sunday. I'm Rick Moore. We're going to be talking about tourism, Charlottesville, Albemarle, and everything that makes us special, and things that you should think about doing. And here with us today is Courtney Cotation. She's the executive director at the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau. How in the world do you fit that all on one card?
Just had to get an extra large card, yeah. No, we're so pleased to be able to promote jointly for our visitors. It's wonderful to have so many assets, urban assets, rural assets, and it really makes for a rich destination. So we're proud to represent the city and the county simultaneously.
And I must also ask, did you change your last name, Cotation, to rhyme with vacation?
I married into it, so, you know, it may have been part of the decision-making process, yeah.
Good choice.
Thank you.
So, Courtney Cotation, I've almost said I can't even do that. Courtney Cotation, executive director at the, is there a nickname for the bureau?
CACVB.
That's just as...
It's a little shorter.
It's just as bulky at the Bureau, Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Tourism Board, downtown, over top of the bus station.
That's one of our two locations, yes. We have a visitor center in Crozet as well.
In Crozet as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about tourism, places... People and places to see, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
We're also going to be talking about tourism in general with Ms. Cotation, with Courtney, throughout the hour. Stay with us. But if you go to the website, it is visitcharlottesville.org.
That's right.
Right? It's a really well-done website.
Thank you.
It's a lot of cool things.
Thank you. We just redesigned it in September. So it's pretty up-to-date with best practices and tourism marketing. We're really proud of it.
I mean, you can check out music and theater and historical things. You can go for outdoor sites, festivals, wineries, breweries, distilleries. You can put it in the calendar to see what's upcoming.
Yeah, and we'll be partnering with SceneThink in the next couple of months to have their event listings integrate on our website so that it's easier for our partners to have listings on our site.
Scene, like S-C-E-N-E?
Yes. Yeah, it's a Charlottesville-based event listing platform.
All right.
Yeah.
So I have to ask... First, must you be a member of the Bureau to get a listing or be mentioned on the website?
No, we are government-based. We come out of an MOU between the city and the county, and so I'd love that we're not membership-based. Any business that is of interest and open to visitors can be listed on our website.
All right. So... I'm curious about your planning for visitors, people who are, you know, taking their vacation and wanting to come to Charlottesville, Albemarle, or people who are having their wedding here versus folks who already live here. How do you put that together? How do you balance that? And getting locals to go see new places and getting visitors to come see things?
Sure. So the mission of our organization is to generate lodging tax so that we can build the tax base here and offset taxpayers' burden locally and fund things like schools and firefighters and all the essential services in the city and the county. So a large part of the lodging tax revenue goes to generate those, goes to support those essential services that we have locally. And then the second mission of our organization is to generate visitor spending. So a visitor is defined by anybody who lives 50 miles away or more. And the reason for that is that those are the people who are most likely to spend the night here. And as I said, the lodging tax is a big part of what our goal is. So we really spend most of our focus on talking to visitors and trying to get them here so that we can generate that tax revenue. And a happy addition to that is to the extent that we can help locals discover their hometown, we're really thrilled to do that as well.
So what I heard there is, seems like a lot of effort is put into getting people to get a hotel room.
A hotel room, a short-term stay, whatever.
Or bed and B&B.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so anybody who ends up spending a night here and pays to spend that night, and that goes into the tax structure, that's what our goal is primarily, so that we can continue to generate that tax revenue.
But what about how do you help folks who already live here get out and see the vast number of things that are listed on your website?
Yeah, so part of how we do that is through our visitor centers, the one downtown above the transit center and the one in the old train depot in Crozet. Visitors are, and locals alike are welcome to pop in and have our travel specialist talk to them. We also have social media channels and the website that are available to locals. And then doing something like I'm doing today, which is let people know that we're here, and this is what we do, and this is what our mission is.
And here today is Courtney Cacation. She is from the Charlottesville-Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'm not going to say that every time anymore. Tourism Bureau of Charlottesville-Albemarle. She is the executive director. You can go online and check out that cool website at visitcharlottesville.org. Let's talk about one of the sites. We'll go back and forth between various pages and sections of the website and some of the questions that we that I have for you throughout the hour. Some of the places that came up. So you go to, and one of the first ones that comes up is outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Places to go that are outdoors. And whether you are a visitor, and because you can be listening to this while streaming, or you can listen to this as a podcast, or be listening live right now. So you go to the page, and it shows you can see it in a variety of ways. Different places, different ways it comes up. Blue Ridge Parkway, Crabtree Falls, and what are some of the other ones that come to mind for you?
One of my favorites in the city is the skate park. It's a unique outdoor asset that we have, one that my kids like a lot. I was just at Walnut Creek Park yesterday with all of its hiking trails and biking trails and, you know, the beaches that are closed at the moment, but in the summertime will be back open. So, you know, we have a lot of local parks that are wonderful assets, and then we are also very close to Skyline Drive, Shenandoah, Blue Ridge Parkway, and a great place to stay if people want to explore those sites as well.
You've also got, if you want to take your dog out, there's a great dog park, a place to dog trails.
Mm-hmm.
Out near the airport. Just just past the airport, and of course the name escapes me if I don't write these things down anymore. I killed so many brain cells a little younger in life.
I am still getting to know this destination. I've only been here since August, and so I go out and explore all the time, but I am not as familiar with the parks out near Earlysville as I could be.
But I wrote some of these down. Crabtree Falls, there's multiple golf courses in this area. George Washington National Forest, if you go up 29 and go off Madison, you can take a walk, and there's some waterfalls up there to go to. You can always go tubing on James River canoeing when the temperature comes up a little bit.
And kayaking on Rivanna River, too.
Yeah. Carter Mountain. People like to go picking at Child's Orchard.
Yep.
And then Fox Hill Races will be coming up a little bit.
Yeah, very soon.
Pretty soon. And so those are some nice things to do in the outdoors. Who gets to select these things? Do the group sit around at a table and start tossing out names? Is this one person's job? Do you put something up on the website and say, toss your business in if you want to be included?
So I've only been here since August, and when I came on board, our staff was still pretty limited. I've hired a number of folks since I've gotten here, so we're almost fully staffed. And for about a year and a half, we were just kind of, make and do. And now our marketing team, since we have two folks dedicated to marketing and public relations, are going through a content audit on the website to see what is current, what needs to be taken down, what needs to be added. Restaurants, for example, come and go pretty quickly. So, a website can often be a little bit out of date. So they are going systematically through the website to see what the content ought to be, and checking things off the list one at a time. So, all of our assets that are within the city and the county should be included, that are open and of interest to visitors. And then if we're close by, like Shenandoah National Park is a huge asset that we're very close to but don't own, for lack of a better term, those kinds of big tourism lures are also going to be included on our website, so that if people are searching for places to stay near Shenandoah National Park, they get our website.
Interesting. Courtney Kakation here. She's the executive director out at the Charlottesville-Albemarle Tourism Bureau. Visit charlottesville.org will take you to the website that we've been talking about. I'm curious, what skills are especially needed to help somebody with such a variety of folks? I mean, you've got to oversee all these people, whether it's visitors or businesses or residents or local government. You've got to help all of them. How do you manage to do that?
Well, there are lots of little ways we can help a whole bunch of people. The website is a great way to spend a little bit of time on each and every business. For our visitors, coming into our visitor center or calling us so we can send you information. We have maps and visitor guides and all sorts of information that can help educate visitors and residents alike of things to do. But it's a bit of a balancing act to try and be fair and equitable to all of our different partners. We're lucky to have so many stakeholders and so much to promote, and that is a big part of the reason why I moved here, is there's just a ton to do and a ton to see.
And you've got these really cool things on the website called Nickel Tours. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about those for a minute?
Yeah. So about a year ago, our board decided to invest in Nickel Tours, and as an interactive way to tease different experiences that you can have when you're visiting Charlottesville and Albemarle County. And so they're all 15-second videos and feature different locations throughout the city and the county. They're not exhaustive, and they're not meant to be. They're meant to give a little flavor of different kinds of experiences you can have. And right now we are doing a winter advertising promotion, and part of that is going to highlight our Nickel Tours, and people have enjoyed interacting with them, and we'll have a contest in the summertime, promoting those Nickel Tours too, and inviting people to make itineraries based on their Nickel Tours and what they'd like to see when they come to visit.
Can you tell us a little bit about who's already participating and how you get businesses to participate? I mean, who's made a Nickel Tour, and you know, a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so they were started by the interim executive director, so I think he and I have a little bit different of a view of how they should go moving forward. But what I've been doing most recently, in an effort to spend more money to advertise, we've been working with any partner who has enough B-roll to turn into a 15-second video and making the videos from their B-roll. So Rivanna River Company, for instance, had enough B-roll that we could make a Nickel Tour video out of it. So that's one we worked.
Tell us about. So not everybody understands the jargon.
Yeah. So B-roll is it's video footage that is not narrow.
Social media video footage, I'm guessing.
Typically, you know, some of it is a little bit, you know, more expensive to produce. But what it needs to be is any video that can be played over music. So it's not narrated. You don't want to have people who are talking because you wouldn't hear what they were saying. So you need video footage of doing and the scenic shots.
Not looking at the camera.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And so continue on. And you need enough of it.
To cut a 15-second video.
Okay.
But that's not typically very much footage. So it's, you know, we've been trying to work on identifying holes in our content. So, you know, Scottsville was another example of somebody that we worked with. They didn't have any Nickel Tours down in Scottsville, so we worked with the town to get enough B-roll to put a Nickel Tour together. So.
And the goal is... So a Nickel Tour of, and I'm going to pick one because I specifically remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
You had one for Bodo's.
Mm-hmm.
And a Nickel Tour for Bodo's, why is it there?
Bodo's is well known. It's one of the places where visitors hear that they should come and experience the bagels, and a very, you know, uniquely Charlottesville taste. And so we're trying to capture those Nickel Tours that show off what's unique about Charlottesville and places that you can't miss when you come.
And you've got other Nickel Tours.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal overall of having multiple Nickel Tours and adding more Nickel Tours is to do what?
To excite and get people interested in what we have to offer and give them a little taste of what we have to offer here.
So when I see the Bodo's Nickel Tour, it's supposed to make me want to go to Bodo's?
Yeah, absolutely. And Charlottesville as a whole. You know, we're promoting out of market. So we're promoting to people in D.C. and North Carolina and Chicago and telling them why they should come here. And Bodo's is one of the reasons to come here. Absolutely.
All right. And real quick, because we need to take our first break,
mm-hmm.
What are some of the other Nickel Tours?
I'm trying to think. Whiskey Jar is one.
Well, definitely go have a whiskey.
Yeah, why not? I think we have... The Omni is one. We did one for the Festi. So, you know, places to stay, things to do, things to try. So a whole bunch of different tourism assets are covered through our nickel tours.
Well, I thought the nickel tours were really cool.
Thanks.
Like you said, they were only 15 or 20 seconds a piece.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I don't know,
there
a dozen
40.
Of them? Or were there 40?
Yeah.
I watched a dozen. That's why I only thought there were a dozen. And they're on the visitcharlottesville.org website. So
yes.
Go check them out.
Yeah.
Courtney Kakation with us, executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau. Take our first break. We'll be right back. And now we're back talking about Charlottesville, Albemarle, and tourism. And what a tourism Bureau director does and how they get everybody from outside the area to come visit and enjoy all the things that we are within moments of doing ourselves. Thanks for coming to join us, Courtney Kakation, executive director. I hope you're enjoying. I haven't scared you away within the first 20 minutes. We were talking about nickel tours. One of the other really cool things that is on the website for those of us who already live in the area, suggested itineraries.
Yeah.
You can go and check this out. Just go to the visitcharlottesville.org. Looking for things to do and see in the Charlottesville area. I'll list a couple of them. Just click on the link and it takes you to a couple paragraphs with highlights of things to do. There's the countryside escape to Albemarle County, a Charlottesville culinary adventure, gateway to great outdoors in Albemarle County, Virginia barbecue trail in Central Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, what did I get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 itineraries. I mean, pretty awesome.
Yeah. We have a ton to do here. And, you know, depending on what you're interested in, whether it's arts or outdoor recreation or barbecue, who's not interested in barbecue, we have so much here to share with visitors.
If you need some folks to, you know, test the barbecue trail to make sure it's still open and accurate and worthwhile, you know, some of us here are open to these.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, volunteers, a little per diem, and, you know, I'll just turn in my receipts.
Right. Well, we definitely need local ambassadors, people who are excited about living here and everything that there is to do here, because that excitement is something that visitors pick up on when they come to town. Certainly something that I picked up when I was visiting here during the interview process. And, you know, people's love and pride for this place is part of what makes it special.
You know, you've got these suggested itineraries. Are you, you know, you said that you've still learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And is this something that you... that has come and been put together since you've taken on your role?
It's something that's been revisited, for sure. We have a close partnership with Virginia Tourism Corporation, and they have a lot of itineraries on their website, so it's a good way for us to partner with them. It's a great way for us to partner regionally as well. If we want to include a presidential home itinerary, you know, we would be remiss not to include Montpelier, even though Montpelier isn't within Albemarle or Charlottesville. So it's a great way to put content together. We've had a large focus on our blog, and some of those itineraries you'll see on our blog. The blog is a great way to keep our website fresh, to keep up with search. So that when people are searching for us, that our website comes up. It's also a great way for us to cover, as you were mentioning earlier, all of our different partners. So we have a content calendar for 2020, which means that we have different themes for different months, and we try and highlight all of those different themes throughout the entire year so that we can cover all of our partners through the year.
We were talking about the Virginia barbecue trail. Let's talk about some of foods that are listed on the website. Can you mention a couple that have become some of your favorites? Do you know?
Oh man, I just
I realize that we would only mention a few, and this is not to diminish or demean others that are out there.
Absolutely. I try and go.
For all I know, you're a vegetarian.
I'm not a vegetarian. I eat all the food. I love food. One of my favorite things to do is to go out and discover a new restaurant all the time. So I spend a lot of time not going back to restaurants I've liked, but going to new ones so that I can get a little taste of a whole bunch of different places. Let's see. You know, I work on the downtown mall, so I definitely spend a lot of time there. I was just ate at South Street Brewery this past week. That was a delightful experience in a historic building close to downtown.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else. I like Moe's Barbecue. It's nice and quick.
Yes. Yeah.
I can pick up something for my family for the night, and that makes my life easy, which is great. You know, something that's not a restaurant, but is a really easy, again, on my way home from the office to home, is Food of All Nations, which is a great place to go and get something really quickly. And they have, seriously, food from all nations in there. So we have, for a small city and surrounding county, we have really top-notch food.
I used to love to drive out to Blue Ridge Pig.
I haven't been there yet.
Out in Nellisford.
Nice.
Talk about the barbecue trail. And then we have Barbecue Exchange out in Gordonsville, which has won awards. And then right in the heart of Charlottesville, you have Ace Barbecue. So you go, just sticking to the barbecue side of things now that you've got me worked up.
Yeah, sorry, man. But we also have farm to table here. You know, like Pippin Hill has phenomenal wine, but they also have some wonderful food out in the country with the mountains in the background. So it's a really great experience.
And then, you know, if you want to get into some of the more unusual side of things, I always love to tell folks who don't live in the area, family and friends who say, you know, why did you stay in Charlottesville, you know, when you came to the university? I always love talking about some of the more unusual things. And two that I love mentioning are Bel Air Market, which is, you know, sandwiches from the gas station.
Yeah.
And then Gearhart's chocolates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Gearhart's, you can't beat. It's just phenomenal.
So, you know, I love those. So, you know.
Well, the Sake Brewery at X is, I would say, something that's unique. And our cideries, because we have such a wealth of apples here and a love of booze. That's something that you don't find everywhere either.
Well, let's talk about, you know, some other things on the webpage. Again, visit charlottesville.org as we talk with Courtney Kakashian, Executive Director at the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau, about tourism. Let's talk about wineries and breweries and distilleries in the area.
Yeah. We have nearly 40 wineries and, you know, a wealth of breweries and distilleries as well. We are known for our countryside and being able to imbibe and relax. And, you know, we have, I think, the best wine in the state, and the Monticello Wine Trail was just voted one of the top 10 trails for wine in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, not to say anything bad about the Monticello Wine Trail, but I think the Brew Ridge Trail started that concept.
I don't know the history of that exactly.
I think the Brew Ridge Trail, whoever marketed that, came first,
okay.
And then the Monticello Wine Trail was put together, marketed after that.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have any shortage of craft breweries either.
No. I mean, I think, you know, they're all good concepts, and it helps you try a variety of great things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
depending on whether you're a beer guy, a wine guy, person, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't want to leave wine women out, for sure.
No, sorry. And then... Well, as you said, you know, with all the apples in the area, we have ciders, and we've started now having the distilleries within the last decade.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and there's an experience for anyone. I have young children, so being able to go to, like, Putter's Craft Cider and hang out is a great experience. And if you want to avoid children, there are plenty of those places too. So there's something that fits everybody's taste, not just from the winery or the brewery or the beer itself, but also the experience that somebody's looking to have.
Yeah, I was I mentioned the unusual, and so I started that as I was putting my notes together. One of the more unusual of the alcohol-themed things is, if you go to Barbersville, Barbersville has the Barbersville ruins there. Pretty interesting day to go to the ruins as well as the winery out in Barbersville.
You bet.
Again, Courtney Cacation here with us as we talk about tourism. She's the executive director out at Charlottesville Albemarle. Let me ask you, I asked you a question about how to help and the visitors and businesses and the residents and the local government. You know how each of those segments can make it better for the other groups. So how can the businesses make our area better for the visitors, residents, and the government?
Well, our businesses are a large part of what makes us unique, right? I mean, we just talked about wineries and breweries and distilleries, and most of those are small businesses that rose out of somebody's passion and have their own unique take on what they see a brewery being, for instance. Our restaurants, a lot of the ones that are locally owned, are somebody's dream coming to life. And a lot of our small businesses are somebody's passion coming to life. And that is something that a visitor from anywhere can really relate to, as somebody who's passionate about what they do for a living. And that just comes off in the visitor experience. So beautifully. That's something that I look for when I travel, is what's the local experience? What are people interested in here? What drives them? What are they passionate about? And a local business is a great way to experience that.
Okay. So how can a resident make our area better for visitors and businesses and the government?
Our local residents being enthusiastic about this place and sharing that when people are coming to town is a great way to do that. You know, it's the visitors are basically coming here and helping to offset the taxes that a resident has to pay. And so the more people we can get here to come, you know, over time, the less taxes we have to pay as residents. So, you know, it's really a symbiotic relationship. And, you know, it's, as far as local government goes, you know, a lot of the assets that we invest in for our local residents can also help visitors. So, like, a bike trail that would go from Charlottesville out to Crozet, for instance. That might be something that we invest in locally for residents, but it would be something that would bring visitors here as well. And so, you know, a lot of the things that people love about being here are things that are appealing to visitors.
So you kind of answered the question about how the government can help the others.
Yeah.
So the last one then is how visitors can make our area better when they do visit for the other three.
Yeah, so, I mean, they come, we try and get them to leave as much money behind as possible. You know, we just want them to come here and leave poorer than when they arrived by, you know, having fun and investing in this place. But also, you know, sometimes visitors are a good excuse for a local to go to something they hadn't experienced before. I know when my visitors come, we take family out to a winery that we hadn't visited before, or go see a local attraction, like go to Monticello, for instance, because it gives us a much needed motivator to go experience these things ourselves. And when you live in a place, sometimes you forget how much is actually there. And when you have visitors come into town, it's a good reminder of all the things there are to do.
How can you be a better tourist in general, not necessarily here, but how can a local Charlottesville, Albemarle individual, just wherever you go, how can you be a better tourist?
You know, being respectful of the local culture is always really important, and understanding where you are. Supporting local businesses, you'll stay in a Marriott property potentially when you go travel somewhere, and that might not be a local business by a general standard, but that employs local people, and it's often frequently locally owned. And so, you know, just going there and experiencing things and then coming back and telling other residents about what you experienced somewhere else. Word of mouth is the most powerful marketing tool there is. So, you know, if you have a really great experience somewhere, come back and share it.
Courtney Cacation, she's a local living individual here visiting today on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. She's the executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau, talking tourism with us. www.visitcharlottesville.org. Let's go back and talk about some of the other places on the site after we take this break. Hang tight, everybody. And we're back talking tourism with Courtney Cacation from the Visitors Bureau. And let's talk a little bit about some of the other special areas on the website. Let's talk festivals, because we got the Festival of the Book coming up next week.
Yeah.
So let's start there,
okay.
Although there's a handful. And so we'll talk Festival of the Book and then go to some of the others. So Festival of the Book, how do you promote one particular site over others when the time comes?
So, like I was mentioning before, we have that content calendar, so that helps us plan for what we're going to promote for the year. And so, you know, where a resident might decide on the day of if they're going to go to a particular event for the Festival of the Book, one of the non-ticketed events, for example, a visitor has to plan ahead. They have to find a room, and they have to travel here. So it's we have a timeline that backs up at least a month to start promoting for things ahead of time. But, you know, when we're talking about the film festival, the hotel rooms sell out for the film festival, which is wonderful. But we need to back up when we're talking about it, because you don't want to be promoting something and then have a visitor be really excited about it and not be able to get a hotel room here. So we have to be very intentional about the timing of promoting our events ahead of time.
And anything special about Festival of the Book that a local may not think about? By the way, next week here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, we will be talking about Festival of the Book with the two top folks So tune in, and we'll get deep in the weeds on everything going on there.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm excited about, this will be my first Festival of the Book since I moved here, is going into spaces that I wouldn't usually go into to see different programming and, you know, finding out how we advance the local conversation through books and authors who are visiting. That was one of my favorite things about the film festival as well, is, you know, we have a lot of things that we talk about here in our community, and, you know, all of our major festivals, including Tom Tom, do a really good job of tying their content to our local conversation.
Do you get free tickets, by the way?
I think we get a handful of free tickets for a couple of the ticketed events. We're a sponsor of the Festival of the Book. They're one of our signature events. So part of that sponsorship is that, yeah.
So we know who to hit up and see if you're using them all?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's like two or four or something like that. When we get free tickets to things, we frequently reach out to journalists or, you know, other people who can make that ticket worthwhile for our partners as well. We're not just attending things for free. So, I mean, we partner with John Paul Jones Arena for ticket promotions. So if they have a concert that's coming up that they're really excited and they need an extra push for, we'll give away tickets sometimes for some of the events that are happening, so that that gets visitors pretty excited about coming.
So some of the other festivals that are new to you but exciting, whether you've seen them or
yeah,
you've already put on your calendar as upcoming and waiting for?
Well, Tom Tom is in April. I'm really excited about that. I've heard so many wonderful things about it, and followed it online last year from where I was living then. But, you know, I'm really excited to see that there's a lot of programming, but there's also music, and it seems like a very vibrant time to be here. Trying to think of what's going on this summer. I know it's a little early yet to be talking about the Festi or the film festival, but definitely we'll be getting a head start on promoting those this summer.
The Virginia Film Festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's probably familiar with that. Can't forget Lochan,
mm-hmm.
the Lochan Music Festival,
mm-hmm.
Late August or early September.
I think that Lochan moved to June.
Did it?
I'm pretty sure that it did.
All right, good. That's why the tourism has it here. Let us know.
Yeah.
It'll get, it usually will get big promo. The bigger the event, the bigger the signage on the webpage.
You bet. And Lochan is in Nelson County.
Yes.
But we do have people who stay in Charlottesville and Albemarle to attend.
The Gordonsville Fried Chicken Festival.
New to me.
Yeah?
That sounds exciting.
Well, you know, you got to have your fried chicken.
Yeah.
If you like barbecue, I don't know why somebody wouldn't like fried chicken.
Absolutely.
It needs to be on the somewhere on the trail. It needs to be on one of the trails.
Well, you can go from Mickey Tavern out there.
That's right.
That's my choice of fried chicken right now.
I'm a fan of the Crozet Arts and Crafts
mm-hmm.
Festival.
Yep, and
usually
they have
one in the spring and then in the fall.
They have an event coming up on March 14th, so next weekend.
Is it in March?
No, there is the second Saturday in Crozet is part of that whole initiative, and so they have a special programming on March 14th.
Got it. There's Historic Garden Week.
Mm-hmm. Don't know a ton about it yet, but definitely we're such a beautiful place to explore.
So other festivals. So all those things need to be included and added in. So let's talk about some music.
Okay.
Because we mentioned Lochan.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the places are pretty obvious. They always get Sprint Pavilion
Yep.
Right at the end of the downtown mall, hard to overlook. JPJ, that's where all the big acts come. Jefferson Theater.
Paramount Theater.
The Paramount.
Yeah.
What else?
The front porch is a really fun place to go. Real intimate venue. I know that they teach lessons as well, but depending on what kind of experience you want, we really have some of everything here, which is great.
I've always been a big fan of the garage. When you talk about the unusual sites, it's just an old one-car garage on First Street.
Oh, nice. I haven't been there yet.
They do things other than music.
Okay.
But it's just a really cool spot. You need to find it if you've
never been.
I'll
look it up. Yeah. I need to get out. Yeah, that sounds great.
And, you know, Charlottesville has some... It has a lot of great, great acts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we need to check that out. And of course, then there's some of the ones like Miller's and Southern, and University has, you know, Old Cabell and places like that. And again, you can go online, go to the website at visitcharlottesville.org, and what I found, you know, on the calendar, you click on the first date that you want to cover and then click on the last date that you want to cover, you know, March 1st to March 31st, and highlight your calendar and then tell it that you're looking for music, and it'll show you everything that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really useful tool. The event listings on our website are one of the most popular pages because people want to know what's going on when they come to visit.
So let's do a couple more. You've got history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're well known for our history here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to get folks to come in, is there anything in particular that you're doing there besides the basics of Monticello and Highlands, and you mentioned earlier Madison's Montpelier?
Right. You know, those are definitely the best known spots locally. I think we have a really great opportunity to talk about local stories that haven't been told before. I've been having multiple conversations with the Jefferson School to talk about the history, the local history of the Black community here. And the Jefferson School has a wealth of knowledge and is definitely an undervisited tourism asset.
And you, actually, if you go to look on the webpage, there were a lot of, I'm not sure if I'm going to use the proper term, but old churches, mm-hmm. Et cetera, that you could tour out in the county.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of spots, and, you know, because we've been here, you know, people have been here for so long, but not just Europeans. We have, the history of the Monacan tribe, and there's going to be some interpretation in the next year or so, of their history as well along the trail. And so, you know, there are lots of different levels of and layers to our history that we can explore.
I don't know which category this would fall into, but we've mentioned a couple times about whether or not the kids were involved, but mm-hmm. The Virginia Discovery Museum needs to fall in here somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a really strong local asset, and, you know, it's a great place for parents who are visiting downtown to have their kids have a really phenomenal local experience that definitely has a local take on a Discovery Museum. It's also a great place that, you know, if my husband and I were visiting and I wanted to go shop, he could stay there with the kids and then switch out. So it's a great way for people to entertain the kids while also doing other things on the mall.
Yeah. And then I've always been a fan of going to, of course, having gone to UVA, the Edgar Allan Poe room at UVA.
Yeah, that's definitely unique.
There's not much to do except walk past it and read the plaque.
Yeah. Well, you can do that before or after you go to see the rotunda and take a tour there if you wanted to. Yeah. That's certainly a beautiful location.
Yeah. Again, Courtney Kakashian here with us. Just 6 or so minutes left here. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, as everyone in the news completely, the coronavirus.
Indeed.
The effect on tourism, usually one of the early industries to be affected. And now there's concern about the recession. More and more economists saying possibly, likely, over 50% probability in several magazines that I've read. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an economist, but you know, travel from China will definitely be down for at least, you know, the next 3 months, and I would say that's conservative. We have a lot of visitors who come through D.C., especially international visitors that come to our area. So international, I imagine, will take a hit for a little while. Domestic travel, it really depends on, you know, where we see things going from here. It can be strong for domestic travel. I've seen articles from the UK saying that since people aren't traveling abroad in the UK, they are traveling domestically, which is ultimately offsetting, I imagine, a lot of that. But, you know, I would encourage people to get out and still travel as long as, you know, there aren't travel warnings, because our visitors really do fuel our economy in a lot of different ways. And, you know, you'll see smaller businesses close if tourism stops or is significantly slowed down. So, you know, obviously be safe and make good choices for yourself. But, you know, I traveled last weekend. I'm going to continue to travel until, you know, we hear that we shouldn't be anymore. Governor Northam has really been providing a lot of updates on where he thinks that we are. And so we've been relying on the state and Virginia Tourism Corporation as well to help us inform what we should be advising visitors to do. But yeah, I mean, the longer this lasts, the worse it will be for the economy, for sure.
Just wash your hands, people.
Yeah.
www.visitcharlottesville.org to see more about the website and all the things you can do locally if you choose not to tour, if you choose not to go tour anywhere else.
Or do a staycation, you know, go out to one of our hotels. The Quirk just opened last week. Book a room and stay downtown and do something that you haven't done before.
Talk about real quick. We just have a few minutes left. Things that you can do if you do a staycation. We have art and theater everywhere here in town.
You bet.
Some of your favorites or things that you want to do.
Into the Looking Glass is new. It's an immersive arts experience down at Ix. It just opened in January. It's family friendly. That is definitely one of our newest art assets, and it's really a beautiful experience. It's I can't remember how many artists, I think 20-some, came together to create an enchanted forest. So it's really a neat thing if you haven't been yet.
Forget, we always have the long-standing places such as Live Arts and the Four County Players out in Barbersville.
People Who Tell the Truth is on exhibit in a number of different places. I think City Space, the Jefferson School, and a couple of others. I think somewhere on UVA.
And McGuffey Art Center mm-hmm. has always been one of my favorites, a studio for artists open to the public for exhibits and lectures, and they usually have new exhibitions the first of every month.
And our Cardinal Love Works are right outside of there.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then some pretty cool shopping in the area. We've talked about the downtown mall. I've always been a fan of, and I will mention one that I love because I have my book problems, is Daedalus.
Okay.
Have you been in Daedalus before?
I haven't,
before?
No.
You need, if you like a good book, you need to go to Daedalus.
Okay.
Owner is Sandy McAdams, and Daedalus is a place to get lost when you go to find a book.
Wonderful. I'll check it out.
Three stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Of used books. It's like an old house with small rooms with books from floor to ceiling.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
So, again, visit charlottesville.org for whether you're inviting friends to come and need to find them a place to stay for things to do, or somebody who's booking a wedding, or you're going to have your staycation here.
You bet.
It's your thing to do and place to use and reason for Charlottesville Albemarle.
Yeah, come out and explore.
Yeah. Courtney Cacation here with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And that's why we love the area.
You bet.
And why we need people like you to help continue its growth. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC-LP, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Engineering assistance was by Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at cvillepodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.